Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go again. You know the crew. We're missing a few, but we brought in the Phantom. Phantom's back. Chris is missing. You know how we could do it. So let's start by, jumping right into it. Edwin, nice jersey.
All right. Hey, guess what? It's brought to you by Goon Guard. GoonGuard.com. Check them out. Beth Mouse Beat. Check out Andy. He's holding them up right there. Discount code 1973. All right. Here is the email. It's about conventions. This is from Jim from Cape May, New Jersey. All right, home of the New Jersey Devils. How about that? Or the New York Giants. All right, hey, 1973, just a suggestion to help. Your boy should go to conventions, trade shows, autograph shows, rent a table and talk, or do a live stream. Trying to help. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. I'm going to toss it to you boys. Check it out.
What? I'd like to get the thoughts on that. COD shows, set up a table, convention, set up a table. What do you think, Thomas?
Well, it depends. You know, we're on a shoestring budget here, so it depends on how much money it costs. And the biggest problem is that we're spread out all over the country, so it's not difficult, but we'd have to really allocate the money. You know, we'd have to go talk to our financial advisors, you know, and what do we have in the bank, like $30 or something like that?
It kind of caught me by surprise when I saw the email, and I was like, wow, that's a pretty decent idea as far as like networking for if you're at a convention that has celebrities. And maybe you can talk to them and actually get them on like a live stream and not have to pay them. Then kind of pop the channel a little bit like that. I don't know. Ed, from a marketing standpoint, what do you think? What's the take on that?
Well, I think it's great. I think it would be awesome. I mean, I was watching this thing, this guy on YouTube earlier today. He's called The Hockey Guy, and he actually did that. And he went from having a full-time job to being able to talk about hockey full-time on YouTube. I think it's a great idea to talk on, our banking person, Thomas, also known as the professor. He was not wrong. That will probably basically get us to go through TSA to get to the jetway, but actually not get on the plane. So I think it's a great idea from a marketing standpoint. I think it would be really cool to kind of go around, you know, kind of do some interviews and stuff like that, and we kind of intersplice them in. And I think that would be great.
Yeah, I wonder if how much you actually have access to the people that are there, like signing or whatever. If you're in before the crowd gets in, if you could actually have some kind of contact with them, or have, or if you're kind of just with the regular people that are there as vendors that, you know, they have to wait in line too for certain things. So I guess that'd be something that you kind of have to look at with the card collecting boom and the autograph boom going on right now. I think it's fantastic. It's just a matter of the logistics of it, time versus, you know, money spent to get out there and do it. So,
We should talk to is Roger. Roger might know a little bit more about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a
great question. Where's Roger from, Tom? What?
What's our Purchase Street Records?
There you go.
Yeah. And talk about marketing. There you go. Great question. I can't give you 100% really good answer on that. I just think it's a great insight from somebody that, you know, kind of thinking outside the box, get out there and mingle, right?
I think the real money's at being out in the parking lot, homeboy style, selling T-shirts out there after the convention's over.
Yep.
No licensing needed. Don't have to pay for a booth. We're going bootleg style.
Yep. There you go.
Ambush him.
Yep. Just walk.
We're gonna keep it real in the Bedford over here.
Yep. We only have extra large T-shirts. That's all we have.
Don't ever say. You're not wrong. You're right. I mean, it's
right.
Nope. Hey, you know how many small T-shirts you can fit in a pair of big jeans?
in a winter jacket. And don't ask for change, right?
Yeah, never that.
Straight 20. Mm. That's how it works. Mm.
But, you know, I think, like, we don't even have to go to a convention and even try to, like, interview people. Just, like, setting up a booth and like putting stuff out and being like, hey, we're with this podcast, you know, we're going to broadcast live, and then whoever can make it, y'all set up. And that's where, you know, we host it. But I was talking to my buddy, you know, earlier, he watches the pod, you know, time to time. He's like, yeah, he's like, it's cool that you guys are like all on there in Zoom. But he was like, you know, a lot of the popular podcasts, everybody's in the same room together, you know, on a couch or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, we can't do that. Like, Ed lives in Florida, I live in Mississippi, these guys live way up north, and they're even spread out up there. So I'm like, the logistics of that.
Dude, they're not spread out. They live 15 minutes away from each other.
Oh, they're 15 minutes away. So like, y'all can.
You didn't know Tom's in the other room.
Yeah, Chris is up there.
Hey, you know what's funny too is sometimes remotely is easier to get everybody together than actually together at the same place. I think it's, you know, with, I've never really used the cell phone for any of this stuff. When it's usually the all purpose desktop/laptop. So, I mean, even like having the phone, if somebody's on this week and, you know, they can do something remotely just to be on the podcast, I think, you know, we're all in. It's just a matter of time restraints. And I think the time restraints kind of hinders the convention type stuff. I mean, when I go to a convention with the kids, I'm on a time restraint. I'm like, we got a 2-hour window. Let's make this happen. And if we can get it done under them, we're out. I'm not hanging around. So
yeah, we all have day jobs. We all have, you know, kids or wives or families or girlfriends, or, you know, we you know,
or
like,
all
I think them. if we all just dumped in full time, like, hey, we're going to launch this podcast. Like, then yeah, y'all would be on scene at a convention up there. I'd be down here finding conventions, and we'd be, you know, but I don't know. I don't have that kind of bankroll to go, you know, to go quit my job and, you know, commit that way. But that ideally, I mean, that would be a power move for sure.
Yeah, I told Ed when we started, before Brad came on, when it was just the three of us, I said that the initially the two things, mission statement, that I kind of want to do with this is keep everybody connected, and then have something that maybe we can grow, that when we're retired, we'd have something to either it be a thing or be a bigger thing that we could kind of have to do, you know. Maybe a year or two from now, maybe we could go to like one of those conventions in Las Vegas, those electronic trade shows, and write it off, and we'd all meet, and, you know, like something like that. And then we can kind of broadcast from there. And then because we broadcast from there, we can write that off. That's all the stuff that I want to do with it. It's just a matter of having the avenue and the time to do it. But eventually, when everybody's got nothing going on and everybody's, you know, just empty nest syndrome, we're all for it. We'll be doing all kinds of stuff, hopefully.
One summer away.
not so much.
That's it. That fast.
Not so much.
Ooh, the fast one, motherfuckers. Killing me.
So,
I mean, why stop at a convention, though? Like, let's go live broadcast from WrestleMania or from SummerSlam or, you know, any one of these like lesser pay-per-views where, you know, it's not an arm, doesn't cost you an arm and a leg and your firstborn to get in. You know?
I think everything initially is trial and error to start small and maybe hit some kind of smaller show. Doesn't even have to be WWE. I don't know how much you could really broadcast because of copyright restrictions, but they're bad with that stuff. But speaking of WWE, let's talk some wrestling. Let's segue, but let me just say, great question. The guy's name was Jim from New Jersey. I'm totally sure that is like convention. Ask Tom, that's Convention Central right there, New Jersey. So great question. Let's have at some Bradford. What do you think of King of the Ring was today?
It was entertaining. I'll say that. I did fall asleep on one of them. Lucas woke me up.
Middle of the afternoon, falling asleep.
Yeah, man. I mean, once I get in my recliner and I turn on the heat and I just relax, it's game over. It was fun. Like, I really the Liv Morgan Becky Lynch match to start it off. I'm glad we got that out of the way from the get-go. It was more entertaining than I thought it was gonna be. The Nia Jax Queen of the Ring match, however, was a total snooze fest. There were dudes in the background. I mean, you pay all this money to go, and there were dudes in the background. You could see them. Like, they weren't even hiding it. They're, like, looking at their phone and not the match. So that should tell you something. But even the Randy Orton King of the Ring wasn't that exciting, you know? I think the Sami Zayn Triple Threat Intercontinental title match was actually pretty fun. I think it was well done. They really nailed that. They saved us all big time. I don't know if I missed it or what, but the Bianca Belair Jade Cargill tag team match, was that like a dark match?
It was a pre-show.
Thank God, because even the replay of that was hard to watch. Jade Cargill is such an athlete, but the same issues they had with her in AEW, they're having with WWE. She's not that good in the ring. They're trying to pair her with Bianca Belair because she is all of the above. And it's not working, man. And I can see why she has struggled to break through. The Cody Rhodes match was with Logan Paul. It was entertaining. I don't know why Logan Paul has had two title matches in just the last 3 years or so. Like, he definitely faced off against Roman Reigns, and then he gets a shot at Cody Rhodes for the title. Maybe it's because he has so much pull with Prime. I don't understand the randomness of it. It was entertaining. It was predictable. It wasn't a five-star match. The Cody Rhodes AJ Styles match from the last PLE was a five-star match. That was an incredible match. They really sold it, and I think AJ Styles at the end of his shit, but I don't know. It was okay. It wasn't fun. It wasn't super exciting. It was a middle of the day PLE, man.
Rangowitz, what do you think?
I thought it was pretty mid. It wasn't horrible, but it was just like whatever. It was just decent. MVP of the whole show was like the announce table that wouldn't break. Like four times they tried to put somebody through it, and they were just like getting fucked up off of it. That was like the best part. But I thought the Cody match was decent. I thought they did a decent job of him. Like, if they're going to go like that super baby face where he gets his ass kicked the whole time and finds a way to win at the end, is probably the best way to make money with him. He's kind of been like a little bit boring for me since he won the belt.
I can't disagree with anything that you said. You want to know what people should watch when they watch these premium live events now, is Randy Orton is so good at just how a wrestler should be. He comes out, he's taking his time getting to the ring, he's getting the rub from the fans, he stops, he looks at the crown, all the little things you're supposed to do. He's selling the arm, you're working on a certain body part, he's not kicking out of everything, he's working the back, it's like everything that you're supposed to do. He's the prototype of what modern day wrestling should be. He's fantastic. He's absolutely fantastic. And everybody that's in the back should slow down. He didn't do not one high spot the whole match. I really, out of all the matches, I'm going to disagree. The only thing I'm going to disagree with Brad is that was my favorite match on the card because it reminded me of an actual wrestling match.
I loved Randy Orton and Gunther. I told Lucas, I was like, this should have been the main event. That was an incredible match.
They had you actually believing that Randy Orton in the prime of, in the twilight of his career was actually going to win the King of the Ring. There was a chance, but you knew that, you know, they're trying to promote Gunther and all that stuff, which they should, because he's great. When he pushed Randy Orton in the corner and chopped him, he laid it in, and you could tell he did. And so I was happy that Randy Orton put him over. because that's one of the guys they should, because those larger than lifestyle wrestlers don't come along like that anymore. And Gunther's one of them. I just think that they're too fixated on fixing his size and transforming him, because I liked him when he was a little thicker and he looked kind of like a 70s style wrestler. They're kind of trying to get him with the abs and all that stuff. I mean, his thing was different. And
that guy needs to stay off the top rope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's freaking brutal. Stay off the top rope.
Yeah. It doesn't fit his style.
Horrible.
No.
All he needs to do is one of those Brock Lesnar fuck ups where you almost kill yourself.
Oh, man. He almost slipped. I was like, oh, just bust your ass so you don't do that no more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way he landed on Randy Orton, you didn't know. I mean, it looked good, like it's supposed to, but you didn't know if it was actually a botch. That was my favorite match.
When Logan Paul jumped on Cody Rhodes, he came hard down on him too. I thought for a second he was hurt.
He wanted to break the table. That's why.
Yeah, there was a couple of those in the Cody Rhodes match, and I like Logan Paul. I think he's good for the sport because he is such a classic heel. He does a lot of that classic heel stuff, even with the low blow on this one. You know, I haven't seen that in a while. You know, like they act like, oh, stop, 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 low blow.
Yeah.
Classic like Ric Flair heel shit.
Yeah.
So I loved it, man. But Logan Paul getting title shots and this and that, like, man, keep that storyline over here with letting him, you know, irritate Kevin Owens and all this other shit, man. But I will say that one part of the match, that one announcer interfered. And Logan Paul was like, who are you? And Cody Rhodes spun him around. He goes, I'm Cody Rhodes, bitch. That shit had me hype. I got hype on that. Cause I'm like, oh, they're cussing. They're, you know, they're kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit. You know, I liked that part of the match.
I thought the banter with Michael Cole and Logan Paul was pretty good. Kind of reminded me, get some surly kind of heat going there. And he is hateable. And he does play a really good heel. And his hokiness with his crew kind of doesn't really fit. It's too overdone. But the brass knuckles thing I like. I wish they could get back to less is more and more of a story. Speaking of that, are you guys ready to move on from King of the Ring?
The only thing I want to add is that it makes you wonder, with Becky Lynch losing the belt, if this was a message from Triple H, because she hasn't signed her extension or anything yet, and her contract's up this summer. It's coming up pretty soon. They actually said it's sooner rather than later. So you wonder if they took the belt off of her because she wouldn't sign.
And she's currently, right, with her contract, she's the highest paid women's wrestler there on the roster.
Yeah.
They're probably... if they were smart financially, they'd probably try to get that money off the books. And if she goes to AEW or something like that, you know that's going to go. And that's my segue into the AEW stuff. If anybody has anything to add before I can just rip apart how bad AEW is right now.
Bro, I've been waiting all week for this AEW talk.
I know we haven't had the Phantom on in a week or two, but... Ryan, you got to give me your take on the current state of the AEW.
Yeah. And when you're pushing the fake Hardy boys as you're like your top guys, it's gonna make the show suck. It's like they put the belt on Swerve, which I think he's awesome.
And then they put him like, on
he's your world champion, but you use him like he's a secondary guy. Like if he's worthy to have the belt, the champion should be the top guy. Same thing like with WWE with like Priest. It's like they want to elevate that belt to make it equal to the Cody belt or just slightly below. But, you know, you're giving a parade to Cody and then the other guy just gets like, you're just on Raw. It's just like a regular guy and you're just doing your group stuff. And I don't know. I don't think they know how to use their champion. Your champion should be your top guy. And then, you know, they're kind of, I feel bad for the guy because he's good. They put the belt on him, but he's going to end up being, they're going to, the ratings are going through the floor. with him as the champion, so he's going to lose his opportunity and he might not get it again.
Well, I'm curious to see, like, with Triple H signing guys, who's on his radar to actually come back, because it seems like if he was smart and Cody was high up with that EVP status, he would ask him, listen, I'm going to take your opinion on these people like Jay Cargill and who will come and fit here and will not be a problem. And, you know, he took those shots at Will Ospreay, and then Ospreay came back. They were kind of like, he never kind of named him, but he's like, any young guy that isn't ready to do the grind and just wants to work once or twice a month, this isn't the place for them. So that's great. I mean, if you are a young guy, like MJF is still young, he's got at least 15 more years in him. And he hasn't even touched anybody in the WWF, EFG, whatever. I'll still call it WWF. That's where my heart is. But it's a great point. I mean, if you're a younger dude and you're 23 years old and you don't want to go work in WWF because of the schedule, then, you know, you're not going to be a true Hall of Famer, right, Ryan?
Not too many that are legit.
Bradford, talk AEW.
Yeah, I mean, when you have to have Dave Metzler come out and, you know, literally post about the latest quote-unquote bloodbath to try to put it over and to sell it with the crowd, because I don't think a lot of AEW people – the diehards, I don't think it was well received for a company that prides itself on not having these storylines and the realism of it, and you know it's not sports entertainment, it's wrestling. You just had this 20-foot blood spout come to up the middle of the ring, and like they said, there was so much blood that like it was over the top, like it was too much, you know. Like you're pulling these stunts, and it wasn't just a few weeks ago they had what's her name, the female wrestler Toni Storm stripping on TV, you know, behind the towel. So they say they're not WWE, they say they're not sports entertainment, but they're pulling Attitude Era moves out of the bag to try and pump up their ratings, man. And I'm not liking it. Stick to what you're good at, right? And stop trying to compete. We said it before, WWE needs AEW to be successful. They need them. When there's competition, they put out the best product. But stop with the gimmicks and the bullshit, you know? The only flaw I'm seeing with WWE right now is they're so saturated with talent, they don't know where to put people, you know? They have such a developmental program and is so good in NXT. When they bring people up, you wind up having dudes like Bron Breakker. I'm ready for Bron Breakker to go on his run. I'm ready for this guy to start wrecking people. You got nowhere to put him. You know, he doesn't fit in any storylines yet. AEW doesn't even have a developmental brand, right? They're not bringing people up like that. They're just waiting for guys to get washed out of WWE and then they sign them.
Well, they kind of had a developmental when Cody was there with the Nightmare Factory. Not that they turned out anybody decent, but at least that was part of the, you know, kind of feeder system, the, you know, any independence or free agency or whatever. So I know that as a Rhodes family fan, I don't want to say that I stick to this theory that Cody leaving changed everything with that company. I mean, when he 100%. Was there, I mean, even like the merch in the stores, like when the action figures came out, they were so hard to find for the longest time. You couldn't find them. And then the trading cards came out like 2 years ago and you couldn't even find them. They were like in collectible stores at like $20 a pack or whatever. I was in Target the other day. I saw them for the first time. They're just that you could buy them at regular price. So, you know, that they're trending in the downward, where the collectors were gravitating towards the merch and trying to, you know, grab all these, you know, hot items to, you know, flip or sell on eBay or whatever. When you can find it in the store regular, you know, it's not trending in a good, and they don't have a big roster to make a new line of figures that has like new faces in it. It's another Moxley. It's another, you know, Young Bucks. It's the same stuff. The only one that benefited from all that was Cody and CM Punk. I mean, cream of the crop. They went to WWE and look, pop the video game. CM Punk's part of the DLC now, the last pack that they let out. I mean, he's all over it. So AEW is in a sad state of affairs. They need, I don't know if even if TBS is going to, you know, re-sign them. And if they lose a major network like they had, that's going to, if they end up on Outdoor Life or one of these other channels that nobody has in their cable package or they got to go search for, forget about
you say
it.
Outdoor Life.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was one of the death sentences for TNA back in the day. They got, they went from like, they were originally on Want, they were pay-per-view first, then they went to like Spike, then they were on like Nashville Network, then they went to Outdoor Life, and they were on Oxygen and all these. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And speaking of TNA, I saw something kind of weak with them. And I got to pop on that one. But anyways, they somebody put a MetaQuest headset on a wrestler during a match. Their world champion, Moose, during the match, somebody put one of those.
Yeah.
During the match as like a gimmick. I'm like, I can't watch this. I saw it as a clip. It came across Twitter or whatever. And I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
What are they doing? It's gonna get to the point where it's gonna be almost unwatchable. You're gonna watch like one match that you want to see, and that's about it. That's what sad state of affairs with they haven't changed the UFC. Now the Phantoms watch the UFC since the start. I'm in and out with it. It trends with me, but they've never changed the original format since Dana White owned it. You know, you have your weight classes, and I think the belts are weak, but it's still that sports-based presentation. That's what I don't understand why wrestling doesn't do. It's like, just... Uh-oh. Ed, you want to weigh in on any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to take and kind of run the ball like with what you're talking about. Well, I mean, when you and I first started watching the AEW 3 years ago, right?
Yep.
They had William Regal, they had Ole Anderson, they had Tully Blanchard, all kind of in the backs. They had Sting, they had all these guys from the heyday of wrestling, right? And they knew how to do it. I mean, I remember texting you, watching, there was an interview, and Tully Blanchard was in the back of it, and he was making facial expressions to enhance the interview. They don't have any of that. And then the gimmick that they did the other day with the blood coming up through the ring, like, come on. That is just so lame. And the thing about it is that all the talent is like, look, people don't want to hang out in toxic places. And if it's a toxic work environment, bye, see ya. And they're going to go somewhere else. So, again, Tony, send a five of us a plane. We can do a better job.
No doubt.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw it. Kenny Omega's been all over his Twitch channel talking about people will message him while he's playing whatever on Twitch. And he's been pretty candid about his feelings of how bad AEW has been. And it has nothing to do with him not being there, but he's actually getting more on the train of it's going, you know, too hokey, and, you know, people like the old school Jim Cornette style of booking needs to come back, and, you know, they need to get somebody in there with that knows how to book and tell stories and all this other stuff. And Tony's in over his head, and that's all come from Kenny Omega. So I guess old school fans are kind of like saying to themselves, wow, Kenny Omega's actually kind of smartening up a little bit. It took him the long road to get there, but, and then, you know, everybody's just kind of disappointed with the whole product when you kind of jump ship and you were hoping that there was going to be another emergence of something special. And it just, maybe there was a sprinkle of a year there where, you know, you had Punk and he had that year that he was there and left up at the dog collar match, and that was it. So I don't know, sad state of affairs with that AEW. Tom, you want to add anything?
I was reading one thing, and I don't know if this is them not trying to save face, but they're pretty petty with people that criticize them online. And the whole thing, I don't know if you noticed, if you watch back the whole thing with the blood, it actually missed Malakai Black in the beginning. He had to take a step back to hit him. And the big criticism was a few like years ago when they did the whole thing. I think, I don't know if you remember, I think it was Kevin Nash, who's been a big critic lately of AEW. Mm-hmm. they did a spot and it missed him completely, and he didn't have the ad lib to like just take a step back to let it hit him and go on with the to go on with the gimmick. He just watched it miss him and kind of made a face. So I don't know if that's what they were doing, was like throwing shade at him a little bit, but it just looked horrible on TV.
Yeah, I mean, why would you, even if Kevin Nash has an opinion on that, which he has all the rights to, I don't understand why you would even try to counteract that on TV with like a, see, we told you, or hee hee ha ha, look, we're watching too. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just, I mean, this, I said this before, the formula is you set, you know, they got a roster of maybe like 30 people with 17 belts on the show, which it's crazy. But the formula writes itself. You build stories to chase the titles, and then maybe one or two other people have storylines, but it doesn't hurt to put contenders on the show that are like this guy versus this guy. They're trying to climb the ladder. No storyline needed, just a win and a loss. And then maybe some heat comes out of it. This guy's disappointed. Maybe a manager walks out. Maybe somebody's watching him trying to profile. It's so basic. I just don't understand how the concept does not get through to somebody that supposedly watched wrestling their whole life. But in Malakai Black, that's a waste of talent. I was always a fan, especially like of him.
3 years ago?
He should go back to WWE. They could do something with him, even if they threw him in NXT until they brought him back. But the only stupid thing that we talked about it last week, that I'm waiting for is that Wyatt 6. But anything more to add with the wrestling? Any more soapbox to get out? Or are we moving on to some Tom Shitty picks?
Nope. There's another dumbass promo during King of the Ring. I didn't even look it up.
Just scan that QR code.
Didn't even look it up, man. They flashed it. Even Lucas was like, nah.
You know it's bad when a kid doesn't want to get involved.
Yeah. Like, we're Thomas, over it. Bring him out. Let's go.
Take it away.
All right. Tom Shady Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their beers, seltzers, vodka sodas, and the hard iced teas. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right. So, all right. I did my pick for the Eastern Conference last week, so that's to be seen. I'm going to do my pick this week. I'm going to pick the Western Conference. I'm going to go with Dallas. I just think their system, if they have to get a lead, which proved in the game one, if they get the lead, they just clamp down and go a little bit more defensive minded, like the coach likes back when he was with Florida. He kind of played that defensive system. So I think they're just, I think Ottinger, I think he's the key. I've been saying it all the entire playoff series. Just goaltending is the key, and I think that's going to be the weakness for Edmonton. So I'm going to go with Dallas.
I want to ask Ed, is there any buzz around the state of Florida with any Panthers kind of buzz down there, or are they kind of in the, still on the fringe of being noticed?
I have to say, where I am, I haven't seen anything. I see more Lightning stuff around here than I do Panther stuff. But I will say that, you know, I mean, there is a hockey presence here. You know, when you walk into restaurants, the game is on. You don't even have to ask for them to turn it on. It's on the TV.
That's cool.
So, I mean, that's cool. I mean, but it's, I mean, you know, in the panhandle, man, it's you know, it's still, it's all about the beach, man. It's, you know, it's not like Tampa where the whole community really got behind it when I lived in Tampa. And, you know, Miami seems to really jump in behind it. Still can't understand how a playoff ticket in Miami goes for $50, where it's like $100 to get into a nightclub, and it's $500 to go see a playoff team in Edmonton. Still can't understand it, but, you know.
Yeah, it's nice if you can, if you're a hockey fan and you relocate somewhere like that, and you can just, you know, kind of just indulge if, you know, if you can financially. But I mean, $500 to go to a playoff game is absolutely, it's unacceptable, especially if you have a family that's wicked into it. But let's talk some playoffs. Phantom, let's start with you. What do you got?
You got me. I think we're about to see the Connor McDavid show. He's kind of been quiet. He's been quiet. But gets the game winner in OT. I think he's doing it in Dallas. I think Edmonton's going to the Cup. And I was saying the Rangers, but I don't know. I think Florida might edge him out, but to be seen.
Thomas, take on that?
That series, it's going to be the last man standing, man. That Eastern Conference, it's going to be a tough one. But I think that overtime game, I think that's going to be the theme of that series. I think there's going to be a lot of close one-goal games, and I think you're going to see a couple more playoff series. And it's just a matter of can Bobrovsky hold up, because he goes – when he's good, he's good. But when he goes bad, he has a couple game two or three games where he kind of looks, I won't say bad, but he looks shaky. And I think that's going to be the key is in the playoffs. You can't have those consecutive games where you look bad.
I think he did look bad the other night, though. I mean, the dude was standing wide open on the doorstep. I mean, shit, I could have scored on that one.
Oof.
Wide right.
Kind of like the underwear, Ed, wide right. I got to say that I know I picked the Rangers to win the whole thing, but that Florida team is fun to watch. That is my kind of hockey. I love watching that team. I could take three or four guys off that team easily if they were free agents, but Monador is one of my favorite guys to watch on D. That guy, he's anything you want in a defenseman, that's the guy. Two playoff years in a row, watching that guy, if he doesn't get paid this offseason when he's a free agent, he's not doing it right, because that guy gives you everything. He's hot on the puck. He actually forechecks from defense. They'll dump the puck in, and he'll be the one chasing the puck on the forecheck. I'm like, well, this guy's all over the place. And that hit that Kulikov had, those guys are all in. Whatever Paul Maurice is feeding those guys in the locker room, What a good coach. I really hope watching him and the way he handles that team and the way they play that they win the whole thing. It'd be well worth it. And I hope that's a trend with the way that the league is going with. It's usually a team will win a cup, and then that's the way the league is structured for a few years, like with the trap with the Devils and all that. If it started with St. Louis, kind of fizzled a little bit, but they play a lot like St. Louis did that year. They beat the Bruins. That's the team I want to win the whole thing. It goes against my pick, but watching them play, man, they're all over the Rangers. They could have easily won that second game. Shesterkin bailed them out a bunch of times, couple breakaways. Yeah, I love watching Florida play. That is my kind of hockey. Bradford, watching Dallas.
I watched
better than those female matches. Come on, you gotta watch.
I pulled up the score of on my phone, and I watched that.
If you want,
I'm gonna try to watch it tonight. Though they're down 1-0. I don't think Edmonton can beat them. The very little knowledge I have of hockey, I think Dallas has a good mix of veteran and young talent, you know, that is coming up. I think they have one of the best goalies in the entire playoff series. I don't know if he's the best in all of hockey, because I don't watch, but I think, you know, this guy Ottinger has such a big following. It's for a reason. I think he's good. I think this, the game one, I think it snuck them. I think they stole out, and I think this is going to come down to a battle, seven games. They're going to go all take the series the whole way. I don't know if they will win the Stanley Cup. I think they battled through the playoffs, and just knowing other sports that have playoff series, when you have to battle your way up to the championship series, you're going to get in there banged up, tired, and your performance is going to suffer. So I would hate to see that, because they've made such a historic run up to this point. But Dallas all the way, man.
Well, I'm going to ask you guys a question. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think that that penalty, was it a penalty last night, more than 2 minutes? Should he get suspended? Because that was going around on the internet earlier this morning.
No. That was...
Oh, I agree 100%.
He was... You didn't see the shoulder go to his face intentionally. He might have hit him without the puck. I mean, but that puck was fluttering through the trolley tracks over there. And
keep your head up.
Yep.
Keep your head up.
Yep. Absolutely.
Thomas, what do you think?
I didn't see it. I saw a quick replay of it, and I think it was 2 minutes. I don't think we should get any more.
Yeah, I think especially Ray Ferraro was kind of pro Rangers last night. You could kind of hear it in his voice, and I was kind of disappointed with that. It seemed like the announcement was kind of pro Rangers too. So, I mean, Florida did
money. They want that New York in there. They want Florida in there.
I know how it goes.
Florida was bottom 10 in revenue for the league this year. So they definitely don't want Florida in the finals.
There you go. $50 tickets for the Stanley Cup.
Is there more money if Dallas goes versus Edmonton?
Or is Edmonton's got superstars.
Yeah. Edmonton's got all of Florida. I mean, all of Canada, because Canada's just dying for
a team left.
Yeah. So
don't forget, too, the players in the NHL, when it comes playoff time, they don't get paid. They only get paid up to the end of the regular season. So the whole league runs off of escrow from the money that they create. So the more viewers and the more people in the finals, the more the players that are out of the playoffs and everybody else, the more money they make.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yep.
That's interesting.
True. So those guys, when they're banged, when they're all banged up, they're not getting paid. That's the takeaway from that. When they're walking wounded and they're strapping them on, they want to win. They want to win. So, just my takeaways from Florida. Love to watch him play. I'd love to see him win the whole thing for Paul Maurice, because he's been in the league forever. And he gives a great interview. I like the way he coaches.
You see what he said about the all his grind guys, all my assholes or something like that? They're all free agents or something along those lines. Yeah. Hilarious.
He said during the live on the bench interview yesterday, he said they asked him how he thought the game was going. He said nobody on this team has been arrested yet, so we're all good. Things are heating up a little bit, so I like that. I like all that stuff. I like that banter. There's not enough personalities. The thing, going back to what we were talking about with the league wants Edmonton because of Connor McDavid. He's like overall the best player in the league. So, of course, they want to attach some kind of history to him, Edmonton, and the whole deal. So, anything to add from the hockey playoffs?
Not the playoffs, but I don't know if you saw it today, but Team Canada got eliminated in the World Hockey Championships from the gold medal game. They lost to Switzerland in overtime. So, shout out to Switzerland for making the finals.
Yeah, and Ed wants to – oh, go ahead, Ryan.
I was gonna, did you see your boy Gudas manhandling Brady Tkachuk?
I did.
Yo, like Brady Tkachuk, like definitely my top five players in the league. Tough as nails, getting his ass kicked by Radko Gudas. Like, it was, dude, he fucking grabbed him right by the throat. It was awesome. That was awesome. Give me that guy all day.
Yep.
Nice.
Every team should have at least one defenseman that plays that style.
Yep, just
because half the superstars in the league disappear when you play against them. He don't do shit. He don't do shit the whole season, but when the playoffs come and it matters, you got that one dirty guy playing defense for you. All the difference in the world.
All of a sudden they shrink like you just got out of the pool.
Oof.
Ed wanted to touch on the comments from the kicker from the Bills.
Yep.
Ed, you want to bring us up to date on that?
Get the legal team out here.
Go ahead, Ed.
I just thought it was an interesting comment, you know? I mean, it was just like, I thought it was kind of funny. A lot of people got their, got upset about it, that he was just talking about family values and stuff like that, you know? And I thought it was kind of interesting. It's like, you know, Nobody seems to go get all up in arms about, you know, Epstein Island and everything like that. But, you know, a kicker that's talking about, you know, hey, you maybe should get married and have a family and have like a good home life. You know, people are jumping all over him. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, I just thought that was just such an interesting take. That's all.
Well, I'm going to go to our resident conspiracy theorist and morality compass, Bradford. What's your thoughts on that?
I only heard like a snippet of the speech. This is what I don't get. You got a guy who's strong in his religious family values, goes to a religious school for a commencement speech, says something in line with the morals and values of the university he's speaking at. And what he said was, some of you are probably out here, you know, you're about to graduate, you're about to go into your careers and your field of study, you're about to go actually do your jobs. And some of you are probably, he didn't say all of you, he said some of you women are probably thinking about starting your family, which I think that's a fair take. I know when my wife graduated college, she wasn't like, hey, I want to go straight into teaching for 20 years, then start my family. She was like, I want to go start my family, ease into my profession, and like we'll go from there, you know. I think that's a pretty normal perspective overall. But like Ed said, they're going to ignore Diddy. They're going to ignore Epstein. They're going to ignore, you know, all this, you know, war and trauma overseas, but the minute somebody says something religious, holy shit, let's hit the panic button. And then Pat Mahomes comes out, and this is the funny thing. Every interview with these big name Chiefs players, they're trying to catch them in the interview, get it on record. And Pat Mahomes said, you know, I judge people by their play on the field, and he's a pretty upstanding guy. So did he say some stuff? People took it the wrong way. Hey, you know, he's good in my book. And what they don't know is the Chiefs ownership family are like far right conservative people. They're not gonna fire Harrison Butker. That's not gonna happen. So, and do what you want, man. They're gonna try to boycott them. They're gonna stir up trouble. But it's the reigning Super Bowl champs. Like, pick a different team to go and boycott.
Before the thing is, jersey sales are through the roof.
Through the roof. Yeah. Sold out. Harrison Butker jerseys. He's the fucking kicker, guys. Sold out.
Did he acknowledge Palestine in that speech?
I don't think he did. No, he kept it. Yeah, he kept
that one out. Yeah. I just wanted to check.
No, he didn't go that far.
Okay. So speaking of jerseys that aren't for sale anymore, I got my Carter Hart jersey on right now. Just acknowledge that. So with Tom's look on his face, we're going to go to Tom. What'd you think of the whole debacle, Tom?
Well, put it this way, I don't agree with what he said, but freedom of speech. So, I mean, I will say Benedictine College did come out and backed off of what he said and said they don't agree with what he said. So, but the funny thing is that he said what he said, and his mother is a doctor. His mother is a physicist. Yeah. A physicist. So, I mean,
yeah,
say what you want. And I have no problem with it. But having said that, I don't think it's realistic right now to have. You can't live off of one income coming in this world right now. So
no,
I have no problem with my wife working. My wife works and makes twice as much as I do, three times as much as I do. So we wouldn't be able to live in Massachusetts if she didn't work. So I have no problem. I have no problem with what he said. I don't agree with it, but I don't have no problem with it.
I prefer my wife work, and I prefer she cook and clean.
Right.
I knew
as soon as she gets off work, she better be in the kitchen.
Me and Chris will agree.
The views of Bradford are not exactly no. Ed, you want to read the statement?
No, give me all the heat in the comments. If you're mad about that, come get me in the comments. I'm ready for it.
Do you want to name any of the female fans that follow this podcast? And then you can call them right out there, Bradford.
Just lost both of them.
My goodness.
So speaking of conspiracy theories, we're going to get the tinfoil hat segment going, but before we start the tinfoil hat, we're going to sponsor ourselves for this segment. I'm tired of all this other stuff. Time to get down to business. The professor is going to take it from here. Tom, lead us in like you always do.
All righty. Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the 1973 podcast. Check out both of our stores. This is long-winded, so bear with me. At either www.bonfire.com/store/1973-podcast-store/ or the other store is spreadshop.admin.spreadshirt.com/1973-podcast/.
We
got to work on that because that's killing me.
Where's the Wyatt Six thing? let me shoot something worthy of reading.
When we drop this podcast in, right underneath will be one QR code for one store and one QR code for the other store. The Bonfire store has all of the t-shirts and all the other gimmicks are all in the other store. And till Sunday this weekend, it's free shipping. Right, Thomas?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Free shipping on all the stuff other than t-shirts. So go out, buy a coffee mug for your father for Father's Day. Buy something. Stop being
cheap. I got no father.
Buy something for your mother for
Father's Day. Give it to my mother.
I'm sure you know a mother that's a father, you know, and plenty of fathers that are mothers.
Yeah, that's what Buckner said.
So with that being said, Bradford, bring out that hat.
Let's go. So Tom, you mentioned a lot of slashes in your promo there, which is a good segue because our conspiracy this week, there was some slashing going on with Chris Benoit and the whole murder mystery here. So you go down in like the deep dive with this thing, man. Like there's a pretty big movement on YouTube thinking like Chris Benoit was framed. And like the more videos you watch, the more it starts to make sense. So you got the hat on. So Chris Benoit, we know, was having sex and cheating basically with Kevin Sullivan's wife. That kind of spurred this whole thing up, right? But Kevin Sullivan was also the booker. Him and Mike Graham are putting these matches together. The cardinal sin in wrestling, you know, maybe at that time was you don't mess with another man's wife. Go cheat on your wife, do drugs, beat your own wife, as we've seen in all dark side. You know, you can do drugs and beat your wife, but you can't sleep with another man's wife. Cardinal sin. He committed the cardinal sin. So there's a lot of people thinking Mike Graham and Kevin Sullivan got together and kind of made turn the locker room against Chris Benoit, kind of. There's a lot of clues that lead up to it. Arn Anderson was giving him a lot of heat and cut a promo where he literally says, Chris Benoit, you are going to lose your whole family over this heat with Kevin Sullivan. And that's like kind of clue one. Like that's the little breadcrumb to take you down the rabbit hole. Later on, there's a lot of heat going between Mike Graham and Chris Benoit, where Chris Benoit was actually trying to get Mike Graham fired. And Mike Graham said that he would cut off Chris Benoit's head if he ever got him fired. Like all these interviews and these promos are starting to come to the surface and people starting to connect the dots. Kevin Sullivan was considered by a lot of people to be a Satanist. And it's interesting that the whole Benoit murders happened on June 24th, just a few days after a summer solstice, which is a big deal amongst that community, right? And then if we want to go deeper, the same time Benoit and 2 years prior, Eddie Guerrero was murdered or died. Excuse me. I don't want to get us in trouble there. Allegedly died of overdose. They were under investigation of this huge steroid investigation, and Benoit and Guerrero's names were the ones that were named most frequently in this huge steroid scandal. And then that brings me to the guy who kind of ties Guerrero and Benoit together, Chavo. Chavo's stories between these two incidents and his involvement in them have changed over the years. There's way too many inconsistencies to say that he's even like a valid witness or a member of knowing what happened on either situation. You know, he was close to, obviously he was a relative of Guerrero, but he was close to Benoit after Guerrero's passing. So he was a kind of this insider man, but all of his stories have changed so inconsistently that like it, stuff doesn't add up and people are starting to pull at these threads. We're starting to come together like, hey, maybe Benoit was framed. Maybe Chavo knows more than he's saying. Maybe Kevin Sullivan had more to do with it than he claimed. The other big piece of it, that all the evidence of Benoit's murder-suicide is circumstantial. There was no serious concrete evidence to tie Benoit to it, right? Everything was circumstantial, which is weird. Usually there would be like the weapon and the hand and, you know, you'd be able to be, paint this picture, but it was all circumstantial. And then with all the steroid use and CTE damage, keep in mind, Benoit's finisher was a diving headbutt. My man's had some CTE. With the steroid use, it's easy just to write it off as that. And then nobody will question it because they're like, yeah, he had CTE. He used steroids. That answers every question. So it's easy to write it off. But now, years later, people starting to look more and more into it. Things aren't as what they seemed, apparently. So I don't know. I'll toss it out there to y'all. What do y'all think about it?
Well, I'm going to ask Tom first. He was a huge Chris Benoit fan. So I want Tom's take on it.
I don't know. I'm still going to say it was Benoit, but I think all that stuff, Benoit was in the WWE a hell of a lot. He was in there for quite a few years now. I mean, That is holding a grudge. Granted, you lost your wife to Benoit, so maybe Sullivan did hold a grudge that long, but Sullivan wasn't a booker with WWE, so I don't know.
Ed, any thoughts on that?
It just sounds awfully interesting. I mean, a story that changes that kind of is, you know, makes you think a little bit, you know, but I mean, it's so hard. I mean, the rest of the business, they all cover for each other and they all pick the rug up and take the big broom and sweep it underneath for each other and who could get who over. So, I mean, I don't know. It's so hard to say. I mean, it really was truly a tragedy and, you know, nobody won.
Yeah, I agree with Ed. Nobody won. The only thing that tidbit of something to ponder out of Brad's insight with these certain kind of theories of what possibly could have happened, allegedly, is all these allegations coming out about Vince McMahon and all the stuff that had been swept under the rug with payoffs and things like that. And you know, if this one woman didn't come forward, this stuff would still be behind closed doors. So how much stuff, like when we talked about Vince McMahon those couple weeks, and I'm sure we'll touch on that again eventually, how much stuff did he sweep under the rug? And how much stuff has passed with wrestlers that maybe could never talk about it? Maybe there was NDAs. Maybe there were other things. Now Pat Patterson's gone. Now things come out about Pat Patterson. We always knew things about Pat Patterson. And now more is coming out after the guy passes away. It's nobody's hurt or no problem get fixed after the fact. It's like somebody going into a Hall of Fame after they pass away. Or, you know, they don't get their term, nobody gets their flowers. They don't get their flowers when they're alive because it's harder to do it when they are alive. You know, there's no reply, there's no rebuttal, there's no blowback. It's just, it's possible that there's more to it. I'm sure there's more to it. It is still a mystery. It was on, which season of Dark Side of the Ring was it on? First season or second season?
I think second.
I mean, you go back and watch that. And there's stuff in there. They tried to reach Kevin Sullivan for comment and he didn't want to, you know, I don't know exactly what term he used on that, but he didn't want to talk about things that were that tragic and he didn't want to be involved with it. But as far as Kevin Sullivan, now I am one of the biggest Kevin Sullivan fans. There would be no Undertaker without that Kevin Sullivan gimmick. I mean, you go on YouTube and you watch somebody put clips of that Army of Darkness together that he had. that being in Florida in the early 80s doing that gimmick, I mean, as a kid looking at the wrestling magazines, I can remember I was all in with that. That was one of my favorite storylines in the history of wrestling. If I had to pick my top three favorite, that's right in there. That whole turn and how we turned Florida and that whole thing and who was in the middle of all of that as this valet, Nancy Benoit. And she was an absolute knockout for back then. If you go back and look at her, not when she was with Chris Benoit, but if you go back and look at the way she was with him, absolute knockout. And when you're 10, 11, 12 years old and you're seeing that, not only are you caught in by the storyline, but, you know, that's the valet he has. I mean, it was, like, unbelievable. But tragedy, like Ed said, nobody wins as you feel bad for the son. That's, at the end of the day, that's who you feel the worst for, because that's the tragedy, is somebody that, you know, does that to a kid or however, whoever, even if it was an outside job, a hit job, to do that, you got to be at a whole new level of, you know, rocks in your head. Phantom, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, to kind of go along with what Brad said, the thing I always found really, really interesting is that whenever they ask Kevin Sullivan about it, you know, now everybody's gone. So it'd be easy for him to be like, I knew that guy was no good. Killed my ex. What, he never says nothing. He keeps it real low key, which kind of would fall into if he did have something to do with it. You're not going to act like you hate the person. You just make it look like, oh, that's my ex-wife, and, you know, it's not my business anymore. Like, that's her choice of what she did. But if there is any truth to what people are saying, keeping low key with it might probably benefit you.
Yep. So I haven't had a chance to do this, but it just popped in my head. The date of the tragedy that happened with the murder and Mike Graham's suicide, how much of a difference in time is it between those two dates? Now, that would hold weight to Brad's theory that maybe, now there is a history of suicide in the Graham family, but maybe Mike Graham did that to, you know, so he wouldn't have to ever deal with any allegations. Who knows?
Or was suicided because he knew too much.
Could be.
Might have been flapping the gums.
Could have been getting drunk somewhere and telling Steve Kern about what was going on. It's definitely a deep dive with that whole thing. I mean, I wish we had started the podcast a little sooner when they were doing the really good Dark Sides, because those are, speaking of really good Dark Sides, that's a good segue, right? Out of the tinfoil hat and into the Who Killed WCW docuseries that they're going to do. I heard Ric Flair's all upset that they didn't approach him and talk to him about it, where he could have been doing all these Dark Sides the last 4 years, and now all of a sudden he wants to be involved with that. I'm enamored with it, of course, because everybody's going to have their own hot take on it. But should they incorporate next season Who Killed AEW? They could probably work on that. So, Ed, were you thoughts on that Dark Side with Who Killed WCW? A little preview.
I just saw it flash up on my Facebook screen, and I sent it to you guys, and I'm like, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
I think it's not just like an hour episode. I think it's like a couple like parts. Four episodes. Yeah. I hope that they talk to more people than they usually do, than the usual suspects. Mm. And I cannot wait, if Jim Cornette's a part of it, to hear his take on the whole, you know, maybe going as far back as when Turner bought it and Jim Herd had that little run in the middle, and then Bischoff and towards the end with Russo. So I'm sure if when they get to the Vince Russo parts, Jim Cornette will be pretty on point with his views on that. So Thomas, thoughts on the series?
Should be good. They from what I've read, they're going to talk to quite a few people that have never spoken on camera about it on anything. So that I actually heard about this a couple of weeks ago about them and who what they were doing. So it, I can't wait for it. It should be interesting.
It's next month, right? It's June.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So a couple of things to talk about in the weeks to come with that.
June 4th.
What do you think?
What's that, Ed? What's that?
Yeah. June 4th. That's June 4th.
Yep. So Ryan, what do you think on that?
Should be really good. You got some pillars of wrestling that are in there where you got your Hogan's, Bischoff's. I think it really started going down the tubes when they brought in Vince Russo. I think that's really when it started going down the tubes. But, you know, I think it's a little bit of overbooking, and much like some of the stuff in AEW, it's you give the guys too much control over their characters and you start butting heads on what you're going to do. And if you got creative control, and it kind of ruins the show.
Yeah,
I think they had a big veterans versus really good young guys thing kind of going on, and the vets all had to say so, and all those young guys ended up leaving and becoming big stars. If they could have somehow worked it all together, they'd probably still be around.
Yeah, it was sad for me to see WCW go, because I was always such an NWA guy, and that was like the twilight of them just hanging on, and just at the end when it got really bad. Flair wrestled that last match there with the t-shirt on against Sting, and Shane McMahon showed up and that whole thing. But just to see like how just bad it got at the end compared to how it was 10 years before that, and 89 versus 99, where you still had that, you had Muda and Luger and Sting were all like the new young guys, and to see what it was 10 years later, you would have thought it would have been in a better place. But yeah, it's almost like a restaurant that you used to go to that's no longer there. And you're like, well, we used to sit there and they had really good pizza and all that stuff. That's kind of how I look at that take on WCW. But
yeah. Andy, I got a nice hot take for you that's going to go up your ass sideways.
Should I stand up?
one of my son's friends is telling Dylan, Ric Flair sucks because all those world titles that he won were all in NWA, and NWA was like minor leagues. They shouldn't even count.
Oh, wow. He broke his heart.
didn't even matter.
Oh, there. Listen, you see Flair now. You know how he is. You see him. At the end of WCW into WWF, but he was the last traveling world champion. That is, when they say world title, that was a world championship belt. I mean, Australia, New Zealand, that 1 week in this territory, 1 week, you're like never home. I mean, tell the kid to go get fucked.
The thing that I noticed today too is like during the pay-per-view, I thought that they kind of switched up the Roman Reigns Cody belt to being back to being like the WWE championship. But today during the pay-per-view, they went back to like, they were calling it the Universal title again. So I thought they kind of made a point to like almost going to like rebrand the belt so that you can kind of follow like the lineage of it. And then today I was like, oh, I guess that's out the window.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough, if you're a wrestling historian, that tree branch is tough to follow on that belt. I mean, they compare his run to Bruno, right, and Hogan and that stuff, but is that really the belt? I mean, hasn't it been split off a couple of times before that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's like you've said before, that's what happens when you want to ruin the belt and have two.
Yeah,
if the whole time there had only been one world champion, you wouldn't have this problem. Now you got guys that have had a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one. Do you count them all together? Like this secondary belt that they got now, they ain't doing shit with it. That's the belt that they should put on Orton. I mean, at least they could legitimize it a little bit if they gave it to him.
I just want to see, like I said before, if I'm taking over the book, there's one world championship in WWE, one WWE belt. That's your Stanley Cup. That's your MLB trophy. That's your Vince Lombardi trophy. It goes between two shows like a tra- What it means to be a champion is you go between both shows. You show up on both shows. It's like you're traveling. It's like you are the guy that goes on both shows. Then you have like one secondary belt for one show and another secondary belt for the other show. One tag team belt. That's a world tag team championship. And they go between both and fight the best of the best tag teams on both shows. And that's what makes you the champion. And then if there's a storyline there where there's some kind of burnout where, you know, the guys just can't do it anymore, or they just, they got beat because they've been going for, you know, 3 years straight defending against everybody. And then they got beat on a roll up. Oh, you know, there's a storyline there. It's all about a sports presentation. There's not two championships in any sport that you have. And that's just how you book it. And then you start, that's, you book from there and that's it. That's everybody's there trying to be the champion, just like any sport. And
like real sports, can we get some instant replay? Because Randy Orton's shoulders weren't down. That was some bad refereeing today. I'm like, holy shit, I think he was down for like a one count. His left shoulder was up like the whole time.
Bro, that's the first thing Lucas said. He jumped up and was like, his shoulders weren't down.
Yeah, I love it. Mock out, kid.
He was on it. He was on it.
The best thing you can do with the kids is never tell them that it's a work. Just let them figure it out themselves. I had the kids going to school.
That's how you get beat up at school.
They were getting an argument at school. When AEW first started and they were all into it, man, they were going to school and they was like, they were talking about it like it was real sport. You see that guy get punched in the face? You know what would happen if that guy punched me in the face? Oh, yeah. It's good stuff.
Lucas gets it that, like, I don't know if he necessarily knows, like, it's scripted out, but, like, he understands the terminology. Like, he came to me one day talking about why they booked this match versus that match. Why are you using these big ass words? Like, you know, like, but he knows that, like, it's predetermined, you know what I mean, that it's sports entertainment. So, like, he gets it. He still cried when Cody won because, like, he was so invested in that story. You know, he almost cried tonight because Logan almost pinned Cody and he, like, put his head down. I was like, come on, man. He's not going to lose it that quick. He's going to lose it at SummerSlam. Not at King of the Ring.
Say you really want to have some investment in Cody, get some DraftKings behind him.
Yeah, right. Yeah. When one of my favorite stories about when my kids were small and I first introduced them to wrestling, my younger son, who doesn't watch wrestling anymore, but when he was little, he was like really, really into it. And he's watching Kane. So Kane's in the ring and he's sitting on top of the television. And so Kane is in the ring. He does his pyro. All the flames come up on the four corners and he's like, he sees the fire and he's like, Daddy, how does Kane do that? I was like, oh, Kane's got magic. He's like, Kane's got magic. He was like so locked in. It's like fantastic. Yeah. I actually got that on video. I'll send it to you guys. But he was like, it was so funny. Now, so, you know, fast forward like 12 years later, he just turned 18 the other day.
That's magic.
Yeah.
Why you watch that stuff? No.
he kills me because he was so into it. And me and Dylan will be watching. He's like, you guys watching wrestling? Look, you're feeling me, man.
Say someday when you have kids, you'll be watching wrestling again too.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So, Thomas, you ready to wrap this stuff up with some purchase rate?
Sure. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Perk Street Records, located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass., or online at purchasestrecords.com. They also have a Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
So, yeah, we're going to wrap it up. We've been almost an hour and 20 minutes this episode. We've been talking about all kinds of good
Phantom
stuff.
Comes on and it runs late. What the heck?
Well, at least we didn't have to wait for him like we used to have to.
Phantom needs to shut the fuck up.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
So, Bradford, what do you got for a shout out this week?
I want to shout out the captain, El Capitan, Tim Elko. played first base for the Ole Miss championship baseball team back in, when was it, 2022? Anyway, he got drafted by the White Sox. Their double A's, the Birmingham Barons, which they came down to play the Biloxi Shuckers double A baseball team. We went on Friday night. I didn't even look who they were playing because it's double A baseball. Who gives a shit? I wanted my freaking Konica sausage and my Coke Zero, and I wanted to watch some baseball with my family. And then comes up to bat, they announced Tim Elko, and I looked at my wife and I was like, you got to be freaking shitting me, man. One of my favorite baseball players of all time. So I went and grabbed a program out the gift shop and bought a freaking Sharpie. Soon as the game ended, I was down front row center, plowed through, knocked a bunch of kids out the way. He's packing his bag up. And I was like, Timmy, had my little man with me. He came over, classy dude, signed my autograph, man, day made, took a picture, couldn't ask for anything more. A random Friday night baseball game, got to meet one of my biggest, you know, man crush baseball players. Lucas was over the moon. Lucas plays first base. Timmy plays first base. Couldn't have happened any better, dude. Shout out to Tim Elko. Classy guy.
There you go.
Classy guy.
What it's all about. Professor, what do you got this week?
I want to wish a happy, I'm going to get this wrong, but 34th wedding anniversary to my sister Lori and my brother-in-law Tim, celebrated this week. So happy anniversary, guys.
Hopefully they watch the show.
They do listen.
They better be listening.
They wear, I had a sweatshirt made up for my sister. She wears it all the time.
Did you get it off the shop?
No.
You would have got free shipping. Get one this weekend.
I had it done at the sweatshop downstairs.
Edwin, what do you got?
I just want to say, have a good Memorial Day weekend for everybody. And it's always good to see you boys. Look forward to it every week. So, you know, I think it was 10 years ago today that we had a big fire. We had a fire and had some cocktails at my dad's house about 10 years ago. So it's good to see you boys again. So.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, Ed. You took the words right out of my mouth. I know what you're talking about.
And Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge that. You know, I still have a card on my fridge. Even though I moved from the old Casa to this one, I still have that card on my fridge. And I just wanted to let you know that, you know, we don't forget.
Yeah.
Let's close it up with the man, the Phantom. What do you got?
I'm going to shout out my youngest son, Austin. He had a big week, senior year, had his last day of school, senior night for baseball in the books.
Damn.
Going to go to UNH for college this year, committed to go there. So it was a big week for him. He's finishing up, and I got one more summer of AAU, and I'm a free bird as far as the sports go. So,
so when you say you're a free bird, but we're going to close the show on
You know what free bird.
Buddy Roberts, baby.
Boxing headgear.
You don't need me to peel the shirt off, do you?
So as we moonwalk out of this one, from our family to your family, we'll see you next week. And I think this episode was pretty good. Later, fellas.
See ya.
Later.